We are journeying through our Advent. Advent is just a way of excitement, of expectation. I'm really excited that we are on week two of this because it gets us closer to Christmas. I think that a lot of times many churches focus a whole lot on end times, which is important, but we lose the focus sometimes at Christmas, the whole reason he came, and then Easter. And sometimes we get into that and we're like, and so this takes us a moment just to pause and go through the Advent. So last week, we talked about hope. And so hope in what is about to come and the expectation of the Lord coming. And then today we're going to look at peace. So with my lighter, I light those two candles. We don't own the place. We don't need fire. I'm just saying. We're going to look at peace. Peace in chaos. Peace in our chaotic world. I know that I prayed on it earlier, but it's true. And I think that a lot of times we focus so much on what is the chaos in our world. And then we cry about why we don't have peace in our own. You know, sometimes we focus a lot, myself included, my daughter and I will go back and forth about politics and we just get ourselves all wound up and there's really no reason for it except we just, that's what we like to do. A little weird, but that's who we are. And so we're going to look at what does that mean though with the expectation of Jesus and the fact that he's going to bring peace. And what is that peace, though? So today, our main text is coming from Luke 2, 8 through 14. And I'm going to ask that we stand for the reading of the Word today. So as you stand, if you want to get out your Bible or your Bible app, we're going to be in Luke 2. And the verses I'm going to be focusing on is verses 8 through 14. Starting in verse 8, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, watching over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you that you will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." Lord, as we bring you this, not you, but as you bring this message today, use me as just a vessel as we look into this text today and what it is that you want to bring when we're talking about peace and we just want to honor everything that you have that you want to show us today. In your name, amen. You may be seated. When we think of peace, a lot of times, if we're honest, we think of comfort. If there's just peace in my world, if I could just have this peace. And what you really mean is if I could just have comfort, if I could just sit back and have just a calm moment in my day or week or month. It's just been a crazy moment. And we've been living that personally in our own house, that it's been such a crazy time, especially these last 6 months that, you know, between ministry and our full-time jobs, we just want a moment of peace. Just give me a moment of peace. But really what we want is a moment of comfort. You know, kind of like that peace, just like leave me alone, let the problems magically disappear, and maybe let Chick-fil-A add zero calories to anything, right? Comfort. But biblical peace is the peace angels announce. It's not a day spa. It's not a day spa for your soul. And it's not pretending that you're okay with the problem. Because I think sometimes we're like, if I could just be okay with my situation, then I'll have peace. It's not really about being okay with your problems, because what happens is as we become okay with it, first of all, if you're okay with it, it wouldn't be a problem and you wouldn't need peace. But as we continue to be okay with that, what happens is it becomes normal. It becomes normalized. And I think that's where we're at in society. What we see as that chaos, the world around us sees as normal. What's wrong with that? It's just normal. It's what everybody does, which Not everybody ever does anything. When you use everybody and use absolutes, it's not everybody. Some people will say that that becomes a part of their identity. It's just normal. That's my household. That's it. You've got to be talking about me. And then eventually we stop fighting that. And we go, that's just who I am. That's just me. Woe is me. We end up in the woe is me, and that's just who I am. That's what I do. You don't understand me. You don't understand my situation, because I do. I understand it. And I've become comfortable with it because I've made peace with who I am, and that's not really the peace that we're talking about. Let me give a real practical example, which is my weight. I'm not comfortable with it. I know that if I lose a little bit of weight, I can feel better. I'll look better. Maybe I can... No, we don't go there. But here's two things that are actually working against me. You know, if I'm being honest, there's two things really working against me. First thing is my age. You know, I had to come to the realization that I'm not young anymore. You know, over 50 hit me hard, hit me like a freight train. And I know that my metabolism is not just slowing down, it's actually hit its brakes, right? It's pulled over, it's gotten out, like it's done. We're done. I know that I can turn that around. I know that if I exercise, my head says all of that. But, you know, at the end of a day and we're busy in our chaotic world, I just sit down and I go, I don't want to. The second thing is a part of that is I literally feed my problem. I do. I know exactly what I should eat, when I should eat, and how I should eat. In fact, I get made fun of it because I don't eat the healthy foods. I choose fun over the wise, and I'm a boredom eater is what it is. But I'm also an emotional eater. I just like to eat. I eat for everything. The body says our body's a temple, and I'm over here running a concession stand inside of me. That's what I'm doing. Like, if I'm being really honest, that is my sin. Like, gluttony is, like, I will eat, and I will eat, and I will eat, and then I'll go, now I'm bored of that, so I got to find something different to eat. And really, if I look at it, it's not the eating part, it's all the other stuff. But I could sit there and I can blame it. I can blame other people. I can blame the soda companies. I mean, McDonald's has figured out that a certain size straw inside Coke makes it change the flavor. I can blame McDonald's for the salt on the fries. I love my salt. I will take salt over sweet any day. Or the Chick-fil-A chefs, the ones who found a way to make a piece of chicken taste like a spiritual experience. Which, by the way, we can have Chick-fil-A after tonight because we're a Saturday church. I know those are silly experiences, but here's the thing. When you start pointing at people, when we point like this, and this is what was taught to me a long time ago, and I even use an example while we're at the concessions, they're like, where are the bathrooms? And we're like, that way. I'm like, no, it's like this. Because here's the thing, when you're pointing at someone, there's three fingers pointing back at you. When you start blaming others, it's your fault, it's that fault, it's this fault. There's three other fingers pointing right back at you. You need to figure out what it is within you. Because peace isn't found in certain perfect circumstances. Peace isn't found in blaming someone else. In fact, that's probably going to ramp up all the heightened anxiety. But peace is found in the presence of Christ. Which brings me to my first point. Peace is not the absence of our problems, but actually the presence of Christ in our lives. Let's look at Luke 2. If I look at that, it says, there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And I started thinking about that. Shepherds at night, right? Out in the dark. They had to listen for predators. Now, shepherds, meaning plural, there was more than one. One would be able to take a break, sleep, do whatever, while others were out there. But there were still predators out there. There might have been thieves looking to steal their sheep. The sheep doing dumb things like falling into holes. Like, all night they had to be on watch, on guard. See, they're not living in a Thomas Kincaid painting. And for your reference, for those of you who are young and don't know Thomas Kincaid, that's an example, and there's a QR code you can look up Thomas Kincaid. It's not a Hallmark kind of a thing. When they were out there, it was stressful, it was exhausting, And then all of a sudden, this angel appears. So here they are, one sleeping, like I picture him sleeping up against a tree or whatever, and the other ones are watching. All of a sudden, this angel comes and boom, right? He appears and the Lord is shining all around them. And that struck me. Like, I really looked into that a little bit. Let me say it again. He appeared, the angel appeared, with the glory of the Lord shining all around them. Meaning there were no shadows. There was nowhere to hide. Like, I almost pictured directly above, almost like the sun. But it doesn't matter because the glory of the Lord shone all around them, illuminating everything. I think I'd be a little terrified at that point too. And it even said that they were absolutely terrified. See, the angel came and it wasn't just this gentle, oh, it'll be okay, fear not. No, I mean, first of all, there's an angel, all this light, and then all of a sudden, fear, you know, fear not. Like, you're telling me to do something I'm supposed to do. Kind of like the other day, I was laying on the couch and I was sleeping. I was out. And our dog barked really loud. And I literally jumped off the couch. I was off the couch. And I picture this moment almost like that. It's like, I'm in my thing. I've got my groove comfort, right? They knew what they were supposed to do, even though they were, you know, on watch and everything, on guard. And then all of a sudden, angel comes. All this light is shining. And it's like, fear not. It's like, I picture them almost jumping like I did. But here's the thing. In Luke, as you look through Luke, there's a pattern that happens in Luke. First, there's fear. They recognize that. Luke recognized that they were terrified. There was a fear. Then there becomes a reassurance. Fear not. So fear, and you can look through Luke, it happens this way. Fear, and then there's a reassurance, and then there's a divine message. And there's about to be a message that is brought. Because God's presence always comes before God's promise. He's going to be in your life before he promises you anything. The angel of the Lord, the presence of the Lord was there before the promise. Shepherds had problems. They had real ones, constant ones, and so do we. Some of our problems, though, we create them by doing our way instead of God's way. It's what I call holy discomfort. See, God's going to let us walk through some things. Because there's some things he's like, okay, you want to go that way. I'm here to protect you, but you want to go that way, go ahead. He's I call him my gentle giant, right? Go ahead. I've told you not to do that. I've given you instructions. You thought it was something else. Maybe through somebody told you some advice. You would probably went to somebody at some point, asked for advice, and then you went and did something a different way. And the Lord's like, okay. Maybe the Lord's like, I need you to go through this moment. I need you to actually feel this moment. I need you to walk through this moment because you're going to learn something for later, whether it's for yourself or so that you can use that moment for someone else to walk alongside. It's what I call holy discomfort. You know, I almost picture it like this, that we come to a moment where we have a decision. We can go to the left, right? We can go over this way, or we can go to the right. The right is the path the Lord has told us to go on. There's a sign that says, Lord says this way, I go this way. And you look over this, and over to the left is a road that's nice and clear, and you clear path, and it's wide, and we can walk there. We could see people have walked over there. You look at the right, a little overgrown, the grass is a little high. You can see a path there. And you're like, you know what? I'm going to go here. If most of the people go this way, they must know something that I don't. So I'm going to go over here, even though the Lord said to go to the right. So you go and you stumble over some rocks. You fall into some potholes. Maybe some fallen trees that you can no longer go that way. So you're like, well, I still want to get to that destination, whatever that destination is for you. So you cut through now even rougher patches to get to where the Lord wanted you to go in the first place, much like the Israelites had to do for many, many years. Here's the thing. You could have went to the other way. In fact, Jesus said this when he said in Matthew 7, 13, 14, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it, But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only few find it. We could go the way everybody else is going. We can go the way that we see everybody. Even some Christians, like, let's go this way. Everybody's doing that. We as a church can decide to do what every other church is doing. But the Lord didn't tell us to do that. And I'm sure in your life the Lord didn't. To sum it up, the narrow road leads to life. Again, in that, I picture it this way, that if we went to the right, there's going to still be holes. There's going to be rocks. But then it's going to open up to this oasis. Not perfect, because there's still animals, there's still predators, right? But I picture like this beautiful oasis all around. Peace doesn't come from the smooth roads, though. Peace comes from His presence. John 14:27 says, "Peace I give you." And then it goes on to say, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." We can follow the Lord, we can trust the Lord, and we will find His peace in the peace in Him. The shepherds receive peace. This is point number two. Shepherds receive peace in the midst of a chaotic world. See, when the angels showed up, the world wasn't calm. It definitely was not peaceful at that time. Shepherds lived under political oppression, economic exploitation. There's a fear in Rome, and there was definitely social marginalization. Wasn't a Hallmark special. We picture sometimes these stories in the Bible, and a lot of times when I was teaching kids, I'd be like, okay, you have to really picture this. You know, in this case, you know, as kids, we picture like, oh, the shepherds were on this beautifully manicured lawn, and there was one tree on the top of the hill, or at least that's how I pictured it. And at the very top of the hill, the angels shone, and it was beautiful, and they were like, oh, but it really wasn't like that. The shepherds didn't live in a world that was all of that. They did not live in a peaceful world. There was definitely uncertainty and danger. You have to understand, Herod the Great had just died and Rome was doubling down on everything that they were doing. Taxes were heavy. Rebellions were starting to break out. Executions were common at that time. Even the census was a means to control. So they had to bring everybody in. Everything was about control. But here's the thing, God decided to announce the birth of the Messiah to who? Not Caesar, not the priests. Sometimes in our Christian world, we think that, oh, he's going to come to us because we are the Christians. Not the religious elite, but to shepherds. You have to understand, they were the bottom rung of society. Nobody really cared about shepherds until they wanted sheep. Which makes this announcement even more shocking and beautiful. Why? Because the one being born would one day be called the Good Shepherd. He would be the Good Shepherd. He is going to bring himself to be the low of the low to raise up everybody above him. And the shepherds got to be the first to hear, "I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people." God brought peace to the people who had the least of it. Today our chaos looks different, but it's still the chaos. We still have it all. In fact, it's just digitally now. We have algorithms that just are caused to inflame us. I was just talking to a friend the other day about that. I'm like, all I see is the same things that I believe on, because algorithms want that. They want to feed that. Whatever it is I'm looking at, they want to feed that. Then you get the news feeds. Those are meant to addict us to the news feeds. Well, I've got to find out the next story. I've got to find what's going to happen now. I heard last week what happened to that. There's times that I've dug into local news, like, well, they reported on it. There's got to be something. Where's the follow-up? We have outrage culture right now. Everybody's outraged at someone or something. We are outraged at something, right? We have to be. We have to be outraged. We're Christians. We've got to be outraged about this. No, you don't. Because you're just feeding into society. Yes, there are things we need to stand up for. We need to mark our ground on that. But understand that Jesus has already defeated it. We're not against flesh and blood. We don't need to be outraged at the people. We need to be outraged at what the enemy is trying to do in the people that don't know what we know. We have a fear culture. If you're not outraged by it, you're afraid of it. There's something going on. I look at it like animals. We have a friend who they just got a nice spider, right? Nice tarantula. I like talking about the idea of like, oh yeah, it'd be kind of cool. No, it wouldn't be cool, really. Right? There's a fear in there. But that's a healthy fear. But that's not what the fear our culture is. Culture wants to make it like, if you can't have this, then you're going to be like this. We've got to do this so you have this. If you've got to be afraid that we on one side or the other or and all sides. And then here's a big one for me, and I know personally, is our comparison culture. Oh, it must be nice to be like you. You have it all. I used to joke around. I'm like, we have it all. We've got a 3-story house. Oh, the other house we had, we even had a white picket fence. We had a dog. We had the kids. Like, it was beautiful, right? Then go inside the walls. But we look at somebody else and we go, man, it must be nice to have everything you have. It must be nice to have that. Oh, if I looked like that, right? It must be nice. But you don't see what's going on inside. You don't see, if I'm talking about the gentleman that I look at and I go, man, if I looked like that, I don't see the anxiety that they go through to look like that. I don't see all the hours that they spend in the gym. I don't see that. I just see if I look like that. I start comparison. Or let's put it even in this context. I look at preachers and pastors. And I know it's wrong, but I'm just being transparent. I go, man, if I could preach like that. Or if I knew the Bible like they did. And I start that comparison. I quickly reject it, but it's there. And we all do that with one thing or another. Here's the thing. What can we do? Here's one of the most spiritual things. And I keep saying this about myself every week. We could shut the phone off. We could turn off the TV or find something different to watch. Right? We can get our face out of the feed and get into the world like we did last night by serving. And I'm not saying it's always about serving. Just get out there. Be with people. Enjoy the moments. Don't sit scrolling through and watching TV. Go do something. Get out of the feeds. In Philippians, it talks about this in Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It says, do not be anxious about anything, and the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds. Not might, not maybe, but will. But here's the thing. We've replaced our time with the Lord with our time on our phones. We replace the time with our Lord with the time of being busy. Our busyness has replaced those times. And then we go, I don't know when I'm going to have time to pray. I don't have time to read my Bible. You just don't understand my schedule. And the Lord's going, look, if you just dig into this, I will give you the peace and everything else that you have. Not might, but will. Point number 3, Jesus gives a peace the world cannot give or take away. His peace isn't fragile, and it doesn't fluctuate with your circumstances. It's not tied to your income, that's for sure. It's not tied to any diagnosis that we may get or the behavior of the people around you. In fact, I tell the kids at school this all the time. You can't control them. You can try. You can control how you react to it. That's where you'll find a little bit of peace on your own. But let's walk through some scriptures. First one is Jesus gives a different kind of peace. John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. He says it's a different kind of peace, not as the world gives. Again, the world wants to convince you that peace is comfort. See, the world will say, okay, you want peace, you got to take something away. And maybe that's true. Maybe you're too busy. Maybe you need to. But they say, we need to take away. It's a subtraction. You need to take away something so that you have peace. But here's the thing. Jesus gives you peace by giving himself. That's addition. So really it's not about, so maybe it is sometimes. You really need to evaluate where you give white space to your life so that you have time for him. But really then you're adding something in, and you're adding him. Next one is his peace guards you. Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Will guard your hearts and minds. The word guard means like a soldier standing at the door of your soul. He's going to guard it. But again, you got to make time for him. How about the next one? His peace exists right in the middle of trouble. John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Sum it up. In this world you have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Like, you're going to have troubles. You're going to have it. We're going to go through things, but what we do with that and who we come to, Jesus doesn't say that you're going to escape the storms. In fact, if you look through the Bible, he's in storms all the time, right? But he says he is greater than the storm. His peace is also the fruit of the Spirit. Not self-help, not positive thinking, not aromatherapy, although lavender is kind of nice. No. He's a fruit of the Spirit. His peace is. We can rest in that. Christ is our peace. He himself is our peace. It says Ephesians 2:14, says it like this. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. Because peace isn't a feeling, it's a person. I think that, you know, all this political peace, if you want to address it that way, two sides, right? There's a barrier there. And it says right here, he has destroyed the barrier. That means it can be destroyed. We don't have to have these, you're either here or you're here. Why do we have to pick one side or the other? Why can't we pick his side and move forward? Don't look to the left. It says biblical, right? Don't look to the left, don't look to the right. I think he's also political at that point, right? Don't look to the left, don't look to the right. Look directly at him. Follow his path. His peace rules our hearts, right? Kind of like an umpire in a game. He says, anxiety, you're out. Fear, sit down. Because Jesus wins the game. We know that. We have the luxury of that. The shepherds didn't. They just knew there was going to be a peace coming. Why? Because the angel told them. But we get the end of the story. We know that he wins. So for us to sit and wallow in all of our stuff, like, yes, there are times you need to lament. There's a whole book on it in the Bible. But that doesn't mean stay there. It doesn't mean find four or five other friends that'll agree with you so much that you just keep rehashing everything over and over and over. No, go to him. Let him rule your heart. Perfect peace comes from trust as well. Isaiah 26:3. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Peace isn't found in your control. Peace isn't found in your surrender, although surrendering to the Lord it does. What it does is it leads us to the next point, which is peace is cultivated through surrender and trust. Let's talk about those two words that nobody ever puts on a t-shirt, surrender and trust. Okay, maybe somebody did. Because surrender usually means losing something, giving something. Like, for you, I lost. I'm going to surrender. I surrender. Wave the white flag, right? Like submitting to an enemy. Usually means you lost. But biblical surrender is different. Surrender is yielding your will to the one who loves you, saved you, and sees beyond where you are. But why? Why surrender? Because there's an enemy. We have a choice. We can surrender to the enemy and go, that's just the way it is. Or we can surrender to Jesus. You're going to be somebody's going to be master of your lives. You can choose Jesus to be your master and your Lord and your Savior, or you can choose the world. I'm going to choose to surrender to Jesus. Because Jesus didn't come to condemn you. He came to rescue you. And when we surrender our plans, God replaces our chaos with clarity. Again, it doesn't take away the problems, but in those problems, we begin to have more and more clarity about what it is He wants us to do in those moments. But that's surrender. So what about trust? Trust is hard these days. Trust is going to be even more hard as we continue, especially, and I was just talking to somebody earlier today about AI. I was watching these videos. I'm like, man, wow, they're talking. Oh, that's AI. It's getting harder and harder to trust people. People you can't trust anymore. You thought you could, but here's the thing, you never really could. People are going to let you down. People are going to break your trust. Judas broke Jesus' trust. Friends are going to break your trust. Family's going to break trust. We're going to break trust. So when it says trust in the Lord, it's going to be more and more hard to do that because trust is meant for, when we think of trust, we think of all the broken trust. But here's the thing, God has never broken His trust, or the trust with us, not once. There are over 350 fulfilled promises about Jesus' coming. Over 350. It's crazy to think that there were 350 promises that Jesus was coming. That was His first coming. God doesn't break promises. He is the promise. And when you start trusting God deeply, really trusting Him, then you become someone that others can trust. You have to be the person that they can trust. You have to build that trust with others. You become someone who's steady, someone who's peaceful. And when I say peaceful, I don't mean that it doesn't come with confrontation, right? Sometimes we have to get to peace through the confrontation. Someone who reflects Jesus. And that's what makes disciples. That's what changes homes. That's what calms the storms, because here's the truth. Jesus calms the storm sometimes. And sometimes Jesus calms the storm in you. But either way, He's the one that can bring peace. So what can we do about this? How can we find peace in the chaotic world that we live in today? How is it that we can look at the world and go, yeah, I understand that, not ignoring what's going on, because that's not what I'm saying either. It's not a subtraction thing. It's not eliminate. Yes, turn the phones off. Yes, move forward with that. You have to be aware of what's going on in the world. It's just, we have to. We have to be aware. But what can we do? First thing you can do is practice a daily moment of stillness. Take a couple minutes. Maybe it's in your car. Turn the radio off. I listen to a lot of podcasts. Again, feeding into what I want right now. It's a lot of educational things. But again, just peace. Sit still. Breathe. Take time to breathe. I hear it sometimes like, I don't even have time to breathe today. Well, you are breathing. So there's that. But breathe and invite Jesus to speak into your life. You don't have to say anything. Sit in the silence. It's going to be awkward. But you're alone. And just let your soul completely unclench from whatever it is clinging to. Second thing, release one specific worry to Christ. I will say that again. Release one specific worry to Christ. We want to give it all. You can. But when you name it, and then you give it to Him, hand it over, don't pick it back up. That's why I say one. We can't handle giving everything away. We just can't. But you get to practice that, and you give one. Next time you might give two, and then three. And you can walk through your day when things come through and go, I'm going to give that over to Christ right now. You acknowledge it's there. Again, it's kind of like forgiveness, right? You know it's there. That I'm going to learn from that, but I'm going to forgive and move on. Same thing happens here. Release one specific worry to Christ, and then don't pick it back up. And then third thing, and this is a big one for a lot of us, reconcile with one person wherever possible. Be the peacemaker. Take the step and make the call. Be the peacemaker somewhere. There's somebody in our world, in your world, in my world, we just need to make peace with. Now, they may not receive it, but that's not on you. That's between them and the Lord. You take that first step. So again, practice those daily moments of stillness. And in those moments, release one specific worry to Christ. And then when you're ready, reconcile with one person wherever possible. I'm going to ask everyone to stand as we close in prayer. Father, we come to you as people who do not have it all together. Our lives are full of noise, full of worries, full of storms we don't always know how to navigate. But tonight we confess what your word has been shouting to us, that peace is not the absence of our problems. It's actually the presence of Jesus. Lord, thank you that just like those shepherds in the dark fields of Bethlehem, you meet us right in the middle of our chaos. You don't wait for us to clean up ourselves or make sure everything is put together. You speak over our lives, fear not, right into the places where we feel overwhelmed. Thank you that your peace is not fragile, not temporary, and not dependent on our performance, because you yourself are our peace. Jesus, we surrender. We lay down the illusion that we can control everything. We release to you the worries that we've been gripping too tightly, the anxieties that we've been feeding, the paths we're choosing without your true voice. Teach us the kind of surrender that trusts your leadership more than understanding. Make us people who obey, even when the road feels narrow or unfamiliar. Holy Spirit, guard our hearts and minds with the peace that surpasses all understanding. Be the one who will steady us when life shakes. Be the voice that's louder than fear, the umpire who calls the shots when our emotions really want to take over. Lord, make us peacemakers, not passive people, but people who carry your presence into our relationships. Show us where we need to reconcile. Show us who we need to forgive. Make us people who bring calm into our chaotic world, because you are dwelling within us. Now, as we go from this place, give us a stillness in our busy world, our courage to release what we cannot control, and the faith to trust you with every step of the way. We thank you that your peace is ours, not because we earned it, but because you came near to us. May we rest in that tonight and for the rest of the week. In the strong and peaceful name of Jesus, amen. Amen.